The story of the Transfiguration, which I've just read to you, is a very appropriate one on the Sunday before the beginning of Lent. For it is the fulcrum or the turning point in the Gospel of Luke, and for that matter in Mark and Matthew. In Luke, it comes just after the declaration as to who the disciples, especially Peter, think Jesus is, that he is the Messiah, and the first warning by Jesus of suffering, death, and resurrection. What are we looking forward to but Lent and Easter? And if we'd have been directly, they cut the first few words out in terms of compiling lectionary, it says about 8 days later, Jesus took, etc., his disciples. So it's just after these events. We have been thinking in our liturgical year of how Jesus has been revealed, made manifest in various ways at the beginning of his ministry through the season of Epiphany. And now we turn, just as the Gospel does, looking towards Passiontide, Holy Week, and Easter. Two things to note about the story before I say things further. Notice how once again Jesus actually went up the mountain to pray. It's one of many examples of Jesus doing that, finding a quiet place up a mountain to be able to pray. And it takes with him the inner circle of disciples, just Peter, James, and John, not the other nine who are left at the bottom of the mountain. One thing has always puzzled me as I've read this story over many years is how did Peter, James, and John know it was Moses and Elijah on the mountain? They had no access to Google image search, did they? No. Maybe they had little, you know, in shops and places, you know, have little name badges, you know, hi, my name's Susanna, happy to help, or whatever. You know, I can just imagine it, you know, hi, my name's Moses, happy to teach you God's law. You know, my name is Elijah, happy to prophesy. How did they know? We will never know, but they realized that it was Moses and Elijah. More seriously, of course, why was it these two characters from the Old Testament in particular? Well, as I know I've explained at this lectern before now, for the Jews, what we call the Old Testament, the Jewish scriptures, they divided basically into three sections. The law, the first five books of the Bible, the prophets, the writing of the prophets and the historical books describing that period, and the writings, the poetry of the Psalms, Proverbs, and so on. And of course, what those two, I think, are trying to say is Moses, of course, was seen as the father of the law, as we heard in our Old Testament reading. God has spoken through the law given by Moses. Secondly, God has spoken through the prophets as represented by Elijah. What did the voice then say? God is now speaking through his son. Listen to him. The same, of course, applies to us. Hence we have the biblical readings. How did I introduce the gospel, as I do every week? Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you listening to God speaking? Certainly for those inner circle of disciples, seeing Moses and Elijah spoke to them. God has spoken through the law, through the prophets. Now he's speaking through Jesus, the Messiah. Listen to him. Of course, Jesus is in conversation with Moses and Elijah. And we're told here in Luke that they were speaking about his, that is Jesus's, departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Again, it's pointing forward to his passion. But the word translated departure is the word exodus. And of course, that immediately makes us think of the second book of the Old Testament, again, which Gordon read from, which describes the exodus of the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt through the wilderness, through a time of testing, suffering, and failure, but eventually to freedom in the promised land. Jesus will go through a time of testing, suffering, death, before resurrection. And of course, his death and resurrection brings us salvation, our freedom, freedom from sin. You can see the parallel pattern there. Jesus was, of course, transfigured. We tend to call it the Transfiguration, the Mount of Transfiguration. He was surrounded by glory. Clearly, it's quite difficult to describe, just as I think it's difficult to understand and describe Moses and his face. But certainly, Peter, James, and John saw Jesus' glory, his divine glory, and very much confirming what Peter had declared some 8 days or so earlier as to who Jesus is. Yet if you were to read on in Luke chapter 9, you get another prediction by Jesus of his forthcoming suffering and death, just as he had spoken with Moses and Elijah about his departure. There is glory, but a discussion of what is to happen in Jerusalem. Were you listening to the collect earlier? Almighty Father, whose Son was revealed in majesty before he suffered death upon the cross, give us grace to perceive his glory. Yes, they saw his glory in his majesty before his death on the cross. In the same way, as we enter Lent on Wednesday, Lent and Holy Week has to come before we reach the glory, again, of Easter Day. I think, again, it's how long I've been here, I realise I repeat myself. As a child, my mother would always insist I didn't get my dessert, or growing up in the Midlands of England, my pudding, until I'd eaten my vegetables. For Jesus, there is no resurrection, triumph over death, before going through the agony of Gethsemane, a stage-managed trial, and a cruel crucifixion. Suffering comes before the eventual glory. And so just as the children are thinking, whilst I'm speaking, about what follows on from pancakes on Tuesday, so I encourage each of you to think about the forthcoming season of Lent. I've mentioned in my weekly message, and I shall be say more next week, about a 5-week course during Lent, based upon that book, which has been on my shelf, but I have used it previously in England, looking at how the famous words that we often love to hear, the Beatitudes at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, how they might apply in our lives, thinking about how we live out our faith, how we live out following Jesus, a good thing to think about during Lent. And I do hope many of you will join us on Wednesday evening to mark Lent with our Ash Wednesday service here. Because Lent comes before Easter Day. Holy Week comes before Easter Day. And I say it every year, the importance of Maundy, Thursday and Good Friday, not just turning out on Easter Day, because the suffering comes first, before the glory of the resurrection. And so, on this Sunday, before the beginning of Lent, Yes, Jesus' glory was shown to the disciples, but it was in preparation for all that lay ahead. May we celebrate his glory, but likewise prepare to enter Lent to better prepare us to enter into the joy of Easter Day on the last Sunday at the end of March. I invite you to a holy Lent, a deepening of faith. Yes, maybe a little bit of suffering, a bit of thinking before celebrating the joy of Easter Day. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.